The meeting, I'd like to call to order Well-Being Reimagined Committee of the Senior Citizen Advisory Council. And I'd like to welcome everyone. And Dave, are you, Dave Sullivan, are you there?
I don't see him here yet.
Oh, okay. Well, would somebody else like to jump in to do the Pledge of Allegiance? Rachel?
Sure, no problem.
Fantastic. Thank you.
I guess, Desiree, you have a flag, and if you can stand, please do. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rachel. Appreciate that. Okay. Desiree, do you want the names of people who have called me that they wouldn't be on today? Or is that not necessary?
No, that's not necessary.
Oh, okay. You're going to do roll call in the absence of Meredith?
Sure.
Appreciate that. Thank you, my dear.
Nicolette Arujo. Linda Cardoza. Jerry Chang.
Present.
Meredith Chalemi, Andrea Collins, Sherry Geyer, Margaret Huang, Carolyn Inman,
here.
Elizabeth Jimenez, Susan Langley, Carrie Keene,
present.
Crystal Miles,
present.
Patty Mouton,
present.
Ann Mudry, Joni Nichols, Rachel Owens. Oh, I see you, Joni. Thank you. Rachel Owens.
Present.
Thank you. Barbara Sloat.
Present.
Amina St. Matthews. And Dave Sullivan. We do have quorum, Chair.
Thank you. Item number four. This is AB 361 review and make findings required by government code subsection 54953E3. The recommendation, continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of the emergency arising from COVID-19. Meeting in person presents imminent risks to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second, Rachel. Okay.
And the second from Rachel. Okay, thank you. Desiree?
Yeah. Nicolette Arujo? Linda Cardoza? Jerry Chang?
Yes.
Meredith Chalemi? Andrea Collins? Sherry Geyer? Margaret Huang? Carolyn Inman?
Here. Or yes, sorry.
Thank you. Elizabeth Jimenez? Susan Langley? Carrie Keene?
Yes.
Crystal Miles?
No.
Patty Mouton?
You're muted, Patty.
Sorry, I vote no.
Thank you. Ann Mudry? Joni Nichols? I think I read no. Okay, no, thank you. Rachel Owens?
No.
Barbara Sloat?
Yes.
Amina St. Matthews? And Dave Sullivan? Okay, so we do have a tie. I need to reach out to Jenna, and I believe the bylaws state that any tie, but I think that's more for the nominations and votes. I don't know that it applies to AB 361. If not, we'll have to reach out to County Council and find out. But give me a second if we can come back to this agenda item, and I'll let you know what Jenna confirms.
Okay. Shall we just move on to item 5?
If you can, and then call back this item after that.
Okay.
Can I change my vote to make life easy?
If you voted no, that's fine. I don't want to.
I just got additional information. My husband is still immune compromised, and he would like me not to attend in-person meetings.
Okay, so you change your vote to yes?
Yeah, I'm sorry. He's
still. Okay. Okay, so then that is majority.
Oh, okay. Thanks to your husband, Joni.
I wish he wasn't so compromised.
Yeah. Item 5. Introduction. Do we have any guests with us today, Desiree?
Other than your presenter, which I believe you're introducing, I don't see any other guests.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Well, Frank is here, but I think he's now our usual guest. But Frank is here for when we get to that point of the agenda, if you want to call on him at that point.
Yeah. Okay. I have you down, Frank. I haven't forgotten you. Okay. I would like.
Caroline Imo has a question. Caroline has a question. She raised hand.
Who has? Oh, Caroline.
Caroline. Yeah.
Yeah. What's your question, Caroline?
It has to do with the vote we just took. What is the definition of imminent danger or some imminent risk? I mean, it doesn't, I know the health authority, but it doesn't seem to me that we're still in that space. So what is the future, what is the outlook? Are we going to continue to do this or not?
Well, I think that at the last general meeting, Elaine said that we were going to try to meet in person for the general meeting and then continue these committee meetings virtual. I assume that if you all want to meet in person for our committee meeting, we can change that too.
Well, my observation is that's interesting that
Kevin's hard to hear you, Caroline.
What?
Can't hear you, Carolyn.
Okay, my observation now better.
You fell away.
Now? I've not got the speaker on.
Carolyn, if you want to try and just shut your video off, that might help your mic.
I think we did that last time too.
Right.
Okay, so working. My observation.
No, it's not any better. Sorry.
Okay.
It's just really muffled.
Okay. It's working on all my others, but whatever. Never mind.
Okay. Well, Rachel, you had your hand raised.
I do. I since the governor has just officially announced that he will continue with this emergency declaration of the pandemic through February, I guess that indicates imminent risk to health and safety. But as Barbara has rightfully said, Elaine did indicate that we might be going to the general meeting being in person and then after that. So I guess the real answer is come February, if the governor lifts the emergency, then we would probably be obligated to be back in person unless we get approval to have a hybrid committee meeting. Mm-hmm. Just my observations.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's move on to our guest today. And our guest is this nice young man who's sitting there. I have his name here, Christopher. The weather turned hot. My brain got, you know, gets scrambled with hot weather. Christopher is a case manager with the Homeless Intervention Services of Orange County. And he is going to be talking about something that has been that has really been in the forefront of our life here, not only Orange County, but around the state and around the country. So, Christopher, I'm going to turn the meeting over to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Barbara, and thank you guys for having me and for me to tell you guys about my organization and specifically our HomeShare OC program. So I guess I'll just start with a little bit of background with my organization, and then I'll get into the details about the HomeShare program. So as Barbara mentioned, I'm a case manager at Homeless Intervention Services of Orange County. We used to be called His House. If you guys have heard His House, we are now His OC. And so we started about a little over 30 years ago. My organization began as a transitional living shelter for families that are going through housing crises. So we began by a church, the Placentia Presbyterian Church, purchased a property right next door to their church with the intention of helping out families that are going to their church that are going through housing issues. And so that was over 30 years ago, and we have since blossomed into a 54-bed, 12-room transitional shelter for families, where families can come and stay at our shelter for 4 to 6 months, and we help them regain some self-sufficiency, of course, try to help them find housing. And that's that was our flagship program at His OC. Since then, we've created several more programs to all aiming all with the mission to end homelessness in Orange County. We've branched out from just His House. We've become His OC with all of our new programs, all of our other programs than our family transitional shelter. One of those that we started a little over 5 years ago was the CHESS program, which is our young men's transitional shelter. A lot like our family transitional shelter, we have one for young men's ages 18 to 24. We help them get connected with training, job training, school, and of course, ultimately help them find housing and regain self-sufficiency. And so that's another one of our programs. Now I'm here to tell you about our HomeShare program. So, a little over 2 years ago now, our organization, our director, read an article in the newspaper about how local community or local colleges had started opening up their parking lots to start trying to help the students that are going to their universities that are going through housing insecurity or homelessness. And, you know, our director read that article and thought, you know, that's not a solution to what these students are facing in the regards of affordable housing. And so we started to take a look at what we can do as an organization to help that population, that student population. And we found that home sharing would be an excellent solution. The concept of home sharing is not new. It's actually a time-tested tradition and is very, very much a part of culture and society in other parts of the world. Here in Orange County and in California, in America, it's less culturally normal to have intergenerational home sharing between adults and students, or And so the concept is not new. However, we are kind of putting a spin on it where we actually match college students that are going to school full time, that are working, are in good standing at their university. And we do the heavy lifting part of matching them with homeowners that have an extra room in their house and are looking for a little extra help each month or a little extra income each month. And so we devised a program where we have very comprehensive matching process where we match these students, and it's, you know, it's a win-win situation, right? It helps the student that's looking for an affordable room. And it also helps the homeowner that's looking for either some extra help, some money, or even just a companion in the house. And so, you know, we started that program in 2020, which, as you know, was a just a heck of a year to start a program. It was pretty difficult, especially trying to convince folks to open up their homes to students. And so it's been a little bit of a slow time coming, but actually recently we've been ramping up and have, you know, we have actually a bunch of interest on both the student and the homeowner side. And we've actually also increased our participants pretty significantly in the last few months as well, which is very exciting. His OC is a small nonprofit organization. HomeShare OC, our program, has a power team of two, and that's me and Stephanie. And so, you know, we are a small organization, but are trying to build out. And that's why, you know, we are so thankful for you guys to, you know, listen to us and get the word out about our program. So let me give you a little bit of details about how the process works. And then I definitely want to open up to questions so that you guys can ask any, you know, anything that might be on your mind about the program. So the way it works is a student finds us either by calling our organization or finding us online or going to their school, basic needs center, counselors. We're in a lot of local colleges is basic needs care centers where students can go to get things like food or resources for housing. We're connected with those counselors and they refer us their students most of the time. Other times students do find us just by finding us online or giving us a call, and they would submit their interest form on our website and that's why I send them the application. And so my job as a case manager at HomeShare OC is I'm the matchmaking case manager. So what I do is I take a lot of time in evaluating applications, both by homeowners and students, and checking to see, you know, if we have any potential matches. And so I wanted to give you guys a glimpse of the application so that you guys can see what is the type of thing that we ask, because our process with finding students with their application along with our homeowners, it's very comprehensive. We go over personalities, types, lifestyles, hobbies. We go over a bunch of different things to make sure, we want to make sure that the match between the homeowner and the student is a successful one. And so that looks like having, you know, two people that are living in a home that are comfortable with each other and are, you know, compatible as roommates would go. And so to figure out that compatibility, we have these applications that we use. That's going to be a little more comprehensive than like an application that you would see for if you're just submitting your room for rent at a website like Craigslist or something like that. So for the students, we of course have a background check that we do a criminal background check. We also also check their standing with their school. And also, of course, we have them do a COVID test and have them be vaccinated before moving in. Oh, that's farther down. So this is their application. We have them list their, of course, their contact information and their housing history and needs. This is where we get a snapshot of what they're going through and what's put them in their current situation. A lot of our students are not on the streets or in emergency shelters. All of these students are really just going to school full time, working, and usually staying with parents too far away from their school, or rooming with other students that have just become too expensive or too uncomfortable for them to live. And it's hindering their school. And so that's why they're looking for a new room. And so we asked about their personality. We asked, do you smoke? We also asked, do you have a car? So the students are expected to pay rent. So we do ask about their income. We ask them about their current employment and their, a history of their employment. And then, we also indicate which services that they're able to do for the homeowners, because in exchange for reduced rent, the student does provide the homeowners with certain services like housework, grocery shopping, laundry, errands, that type of thing. So on this application, we also have them list the school that they go to, their employment history, and references. Of course, we call personal references, and medical information. So we get a snapshot, a real good snapshot of this student, of who they are, what put them in this situation, and what they're looking for in a roommate. We also, of course, have them tell us about themselves. And so, yeah, this is just I wanted to show you guys the application so you guys kind of have an idea of what the information it is that we do get from the students. And then the homeowner application, we ask questions regarding the room rental arrangement. So we would ask, what is the homeowner's housemate preferences? Do they want a male, female? Do they want a religious preference maybe for the student that they're going to be housing? And so we also ask them to list the type of services they may need and the home description and a little bit about themselves with their personality and hobbies as well. The application process, as you can see, is pretty comprehensive. We do go over more than you would if you were just signing up with a rental lease somewhere. And that's because we want to make sure that the match is successful. We take a look at everything. And the way the process works is if I do find a match, if I think that a student and a homeowner may be good together, I would then schedule an interview with the student and the homeowner where I go into even deeper questions about each of their routines, their daily routines. We ask about, how late does the student like to stay up, or what time do they have to get up in the morning to go to school? And, we go over all of the expectations that the student and the homeowner would have regarding the rental arrangement. Usually I have a slideshow with me, but I couldn't get that working today. And so I'm kind of going off the top of my head here, but I think I've covered most everything that I usually do on one of these slideshow meetings. And so I wanted to ask if you guys have any questions about the home share program, or if there was something that maybe I didn't explain quite well, or if you guys just have any other even insights or feedback about the program, I would love to hear it.
I have a question, Christopher. What about, I had heard that there was also a program of seniors sharing their home with another senior.
Oh, our program is focused on pairing students with homeowners. Our program isn't set up currently for two homeowners, or like a senior that's looking for housing to be paired with another homeowner, but that is something that is home sharing in general is a great solution for that problem. And hopefully, as we expand, we won't have to, maybe we'll be able to open up and not be so limiting in who we are able to serve. Mm-hmm. But the way that the program is written right now for funding and the program guidelines, it is designed for students to be paired with homeowners. And the homeowners tend to be seniors, seniors that are looking for a little extra help.
Right. And Frank has his hand up, but you're muted, Frank.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was holding it. So going to that program that you were talking about, seniors sharing a room with another needing senior, that used to be run through the Buena Park Senior Center or the Garden Grove Senior Center, that used to collect like-minded seniors who wanted to share their home with another senior. And they used to call Office on Aging for that. I don't know if that program is still in operations, because it used to be only open a couple of times during the week at a specific times, but you might want to reach out to Office on Aging if that was your insight or you wanted to find more information about that.
I think Stephanie had mentioned that as a possible addition to what you folks are doing.
Yeah. And you know, it's so unfortunate that we do sometimes we will get seniors or folks that are calling us that are just a little bit confused about you know, the program, that are looking for housing themselves. And it's always hard that we just have to, you know, refer them to other resources that we have, you know, for them. Mm-hmm. But like I said, hopefully in the future, you know, if we're able to build out HomeShare OC to be, you know, across Orange County or just even across multiple counties or the state, then, you know, it's likely if we have something built out that we would be able to be, you know, expand a little more.
Yeah. Joni, you have your hand up.
Yeah.
And you're muted.
I know that. Hey, I'm working on it, girl.
Oh, sorry.
Christopher, two questions. One, you didn't give any numbers. So how many are currently placed and how many are looking?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Of course. So as of right now, we have six participants that are in the program. We also have eight graduates, the graduates that have gone through the program. The way the program is set up is that the rental arrangement is usually between 4 to 6 months. And then so in those 4 to 6 months, his OC, or rather HomeShare OC, checks in with the homeowner and the renter every month just to make sure that the rental arrangement is being followed and everything is going well. After those 6 months, they graduate the program, and all of them, I'm happy to say, have continued on the arrangement just without his OC's involvement.
Okay, and the other question, excuse me if I cut you off, but it's really the one that's burning in my heart. Sure. And that is, we know the LGBTQ students are particularly at risk, and I know you're a church-based group. I'd like to know where that figures in participation.
Thank you so much. Yeah, no, absolutely. So really, we used to be owned by the church by Placentia Presbyterian Church. When we became his OC, we actually broke off and became our own 501c3 nonprofit organization. And that's why we are able to move into other areas of you know, addressing this population. In regards to our program, HomeShare OC, and all programs and at his OC, we have equal rights, non-discrimination. That's the word I'm looking for. Non-discrimination participation agreement form. So we have everybody sign non-discrimination forms. The homeowners do not discriminate. The students do not discriminate. And of course, staff does not discriminate on any basis of, you know, sexual orientation, gender, race, and age, anything. We have that non-discrimination agreement, of course, that we sign. Very important. And I wanted to mention too, of course, that we had currently, we have 13 students on our waiting list. We also have 6 homeowners on our waiting list. Now you might think like, oh, hey, you know, we have 13 students and we have 6 homeowners, why aren't you matching them? And that's just because they aren't compatible. And so we're not going to put a student in a home that's not going to work out. And so either location, or maybe it's personality or preferences or work, something is, you know, not connecting these students and these homeowners. So those are our current, you know, our waiting list, as we call them, as of right now.
Thank you for all that clarification. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Now, Rachel, you had your hand up.
I do. So Christopher, how are you being funded at this point in time?
Sure. So right now we actually are being funded by 2 grants. There's one that's a, you know, Stephanie is so much better at this answer than I am. Stephanie normally does these presentations and I'm just stepping in for her. But yeah, we mainly grants. And of course, we also have personal funders and fundraisers. So his OC does multiple fundraisers throughout the year. And we use the money that we get from that and along with grants to fund our programs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other comments? Any more questions? Any off the wall questions you have for Christopher?
Yeah.
Rachel.
So Christopher, is the presentation that you have different than what Stephanie presented a month ago?
It's about the same. We do work together on those. That's the one I think I might be talking about. So I guess it's good that it wasn't the exact one that you maybe have already seen. Maybe I touched on some other parts.
And can you provide that to the chair? Because, you know, one of our obligations in this committee is to share these presentations and this information with the senior centers that we are interfacing with. So rather than third party regurgitation, I'd like to be able to share the actual presentation.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I will go ahead and figure out, maybe I can send that over to Barbara and maybe she can get it over to you.
Or to Desiree, maybe.
Or to Desiree, yeah. And you know what, I'll also go ahead and attach all the literature that we have on our program, like our flyers for homeowners, and even the homeowner application so that, you know, you guys can just have everything. Yeah.
And not to make you go too fast, but my committee meeting or my big meeting with the city is tomorrow morning.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll get it out right away.
All right, thank you.
Okay. We have anybody else want to jump in, ask, tell?
Any feedback about the program or any hesitations? I also like to ask that. Does anything just pop in your mind thinking like, oh, not going to work out for me because of X, Y, or Z?
Well, for me, excuse me, I'm Carrie Keene, for me, it seems like I would be surprised that there aren't more students, you know, on your waiting list because of the price of housing in Orange County and for students who are on a tight budget. But you say that you're marketing to all of the colleges and universities in the area and the student centers and all of that, housing offices. It's a wonderful idea because, as you said, that's how a lot of countries around in Europe, especially, and other countries around the world, there is a lot of shared housing. And they actually have websites that are dedicated to just shared housing. And they don't do, I don't think they do much of a vetting process like you do. Sounds like you had an attorney go over all of those documents. To make sure that you were above the law and all that.
Yes, we are we're pretty safe, of course. You know, in regards to your comment about the students, you know, we do get interest forms a lot from our students. I would say a couple a day from students. And a lot of the time I'll respond to those interest forms and they don't submit their application and don't make it to the waiting list. And that might be because they find other supports. Sure. They find other resources and they don't need our services, in which case, great, you know. We also are trying to get into more colleges. Right now we've made, we've gotten into, I wanna say close to 10 local colleges, like Cal State Fullerton, Fullerton College, and we're also focusing more in South County. So we have Irvine Valley College and Saddleback. And so we have people around, but I'm actually utilizing my volunteers and interns that I get for this semester from Cal State Fullerton.
Yeah.
On outreaching. So reaching out to colleges and getting into those centers.
Yeah, that's great.
Because really, as you know, I mean, this program, it has the potential to help so many. And I think just what's preventing it at the current state is, you know, people don't know about the option. And so, you know, getting the word out, presenting to groups like this is, you know, that's our goal.
Yeah. Hello. Thank you. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you
for Christopher, how do you hear from people with homes? Do you get a lot of those kind of queries?
So that is the more challenging end. I would say we certainly get far more student inquiries. inquiries than we do homeowner inquiries. And that is the challenge that we are running into currently with Home Share OC. And so, you know, that's why Stephanie has been so great at doing the outreach part, and she's going around to all these different groups and presenting. And you know, actually we did go to the Costa Mesa Wellness Expo and the Yerba Linda Health Fair these last few weekends, and we got a couple of you know, interested homeowners from those events, which was great. But yeah, you know, honestly, it's more challenging to find homeowners mm-hmm. than to find students, as you can imagine.
Hmm. Yeah, Joni.
Yeah, with so many people who I've mentioned it to, they frankly can make more with Airbnb.
Of course.
What is your retort to them? I mean, I try to appeal to their.
Sure. Yeah, you're helping out a student in need, right? And so, yes, the rent is, we ask the homeowner to pay or to ask for no more than $500 for rent, which is way below how much you can rent a room for. And just an Airbnb, my gosh, you can get way more money. So this is, you know, it's primarily for homeowners that are looking for those services that the student is able to provide, and maybe not so much income, but you know, $500 a month is good, a little. And we are looking into ways that we can change that. And one of the ways that we're looking into, hopefully, when we get some more funding, we're looking to maybe even subsidize some of the rent, and so we would pay $500, the student would pay $500, the homeowner would get $1,000 a month. And so, you know, that's the future. It's something that we're looking into, but you are correct. You know, a lot of the time homeowners say, you know, oh, $500, I mean, I can do that. And yeah, I can get, you know, $2,000 or $1,000 for my room. But you know, the student isn't handpicked for you. They're also not doing services for you each month or each week. And so that's kind of the trade-off. We also get homeowners that don't require services. Like, we have a couple of homeowners that aren't in need of those extra services, but also want to help out a student. And so we have some homeowners that charge around $675, $700 for their room. Well, that's a special case. That's really just for, you know, this homeowner happens to have a room for available and doesn't need any services and wanted to charge a little more. So, you know, we're flexible. We try to be flexible.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, anybody have last chance question for Christopher? I think you've answered all our questions and brought some things up that we can think about and move on to our special communities and our contacts for your program.
Wonderful.
So, Christopher, thank you so very much. Really appreciate your stepping in for Stephanie in the line of fire.
No, my pleasure. Thank you guys so much for having my organization and letting me share our program with you. I hope you guys found it informative. Let me know. Please reach out. I'll put my contact information in the chat in case you guys have any questions. Please feel free to reach out. Thank you guys so much.
Great. Thank you so much, Christopher. Okay. And if you want to stay on, Christopher, you're welcome, or bop off. That's okay. No, I'm going to call on Frank right now. Are you ready, Frank?
I'm ready. Thank you for having me. Great to see everybody at the very least on Zoom. So the community classes and workshops and trainings are moving forward. I recall that diabetes was wrapping up the workshop that was being delivered at the Meadows. So we had a nice turnout, and several were able to stick it out through the six sessions. And the former Matter of Balance class was successful. So much so that we started another one, and we are in session 4 of the Matter of Balance class of the 8 sessions at Mission Viejo Senior Center. We have a robust 15 people in that class as well. And we have a calendar of chronic disease self-management, diabetes self-management, and a matter of balance class at Mission Viejo that are going to be posted for the fall or the winter in January taking place. Currently, we have a volunteer training for the chronic disease self-management and the diabetes self-management workshop training that is taking place every Thursday. We anticipate to finish the 27th of this month with at least 5 new volunteers to help us deliver the class, both the chronic disease and the diabetes class, and hopefully start to offer Chinese at certain facilities, as well as bringing back the Spanish classes as well, because we have a couple of two different bilingual individuals that are able to help facilitate those classes in other languages. Any questions? Yes, Rachel?
Frank, I am new to this committee, so I don't know who you are or what you represent, and so who's sponsoring these classes, so just a little bit of background would be useful.
Sure, I thought everybody was doing this for quite some time. Yeah, so I'm the health educator with Office on Aging, and I manage our evidence-based education programs, and we deliver these chronic disease self-management, diabetes self-management, and a matter of balance classes throughout Orange County senior centers, community centers, and senior living facilities, and even libraries. Before the pandemic, I had at least 30 volunteers for the chronic disease and diabetes, and 30 volunteers for the matter of balance. So I'm rebuilding my volunteer team to help us deliver these classes. Majority of the volunteers come from other agencies. I would say about 2/3 have been coming from hospital staff, like SCAN, or maybe even the in-home healthcare system group. I know that St. Jude, St. Joseph, Hogue Hospital have had community engagement with us, so that help us deliver the classes through certain facilities. And so when I was talking about those classes being delivered, they were at St. Jude, St. Joseph, and Irvine.
Understood. Thank you.
Sure.
Frank, who teaches the classes?
The volunteers that I was just mentioning.
The instructors are volunteers?
The volunteers, yeah.
Okay.
I'm the master trainer, and the contracted master trainer through Nutrition Services help me facilitate the trainings. And as I mentioned, we're in the process of graduating at least 5 new volunteers to help us deliver those classes.
And so this funding comes just out of the General Office on Aging?
It's through the AAA, Area Agency on Aging. So it's part of the 3D funding for evidence-based education classes. So your senior tax dollars are coming back to you in community education.
I'm busy taking notes, Frank.
Okay.
See, I wasn't the only one.
So in the past, before the community or the this committee was renamed, it was the Health Education Subcommittee. the Nutrition and Health Education yes. Subcommittee of SCAC, Senior Collaborative. So then during the pandemic, they changed the name. And because of my role for a while was facilitating calls in the call center, that's what I was doing for the past 2.5 years. Now that we're starting to open up, I'm now trying to ramp up and offer the classes both in person and virtually.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you so much, Frank.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Every month you give us great info. Okay. Item number 7, well, announcements, Frank, and roundtable discussion. And I wanted to talk about November's meeting as a working session. And last year, we put together a program that from our committee that we wanted to present to the Board of Supervisors. So every committee works on a program to present to the Board of Supervisors for funding. And last year, I have to admit, I was a little frustrated because there were some great ideas, but they were all things that were funded either by the federal government, the state, and the Board of Supervisors, you know, had no say in the matter. So if we're proposing a program that we would like to see the Board of Supervisors back and fund, it has to be something that is in their province. So I'm going to do a little do some research, and Meredith is really very knowledgeable about this. I'll talk to Meredith and I'll send everyone on the committee maybe some things, and you all may have something that you feel would work well that would be part of our Well-Being Reimagined to present to the board that we can talk about in November. And then in, I think it's February, isn't it February when we talk, we go through it with Elaine and the whole, you know, our whole council. So anyway, I, being a newbie at this, and I, you know, I come from private industry that works very differently. And I was really kind of frustrated because Joni is very good. working on a project, and it was like, you know, we're volunteers, but I don't really feel like spinning my wheels to work on something that's not doable. You know, that's a waste of my time and everybody's time. Right. And we're all involved in a lot of things. So that's why I'm making this announcement. And if you have any ideas, send them to me over, you know, just send me an email, a text, whatever, of things that you feel that maybe we could examine and present from our committee to be considered by the Board of Supervisors for the 2023 budget. So, yeah, Joni.
Yeah, where did the idea initiate, both ideas, one for the iPads and the other for the gift cards for money for seniors who were with
low I don't know. Frank, do you know anything about that?
Something about the gas card?
No. I was talking about the iPads, which were distributed by the Board of Supervisors. Each one had hundreds of iPads, which were distributed within their
district. Well, there were thousands.
Yeah. Oh, okay. My point is, I don't know who initiated the idea, Number two, who initiated the idea, also distributed by the Board of Supervisors, for the cards, credit cards, which were gift cards, which were for food consumption. I mean, those were two great ones, but I don't know who initiated them.
Well, I do know the technology committee came up with the iPad project.
I'm not sure about that.
Carolyn really was on the committee.
So the Board of Supervisors was, let me turn this up for you. So it's my under the impression the best answer for that would be Christina. But I recall that the Board of Supervisors were recipients of those iPads, and they felt that
that's not what happened.
Let me finish my statement, and you can maybe correct it when I'm done.
Okay.
So it was my under the impression that the Board of Supervisors were the designated individuals that were having an allotment of those iPads. And somewhere along the lines that the Board of Supervisors and Office on Aging, since we are a referral agency and distributing agency for some of the resources, that they felt it a good partnership to deliver the iPads in that fashion. People can call and collect them at the Office on Aging's website, or an individual could drop it off at a specific date and time at a designated location, usually the individual's home. The nuances were a little bit beyond my pay grade, as far as it was through the state, then to the Board of Supervisors, and then through Office on Aging, or AAA agencies. I know that there's a little bit of nuances that I cannot recall. I think the Bridging the Digital Divide, which it was called. I don't know about the gift cards. I'm not sure if that was the CalFresh gift cards. I don't know about that.
Now, Carolyn, do you have any input into that?
I don't know if you can hear me. Can
you? Yeah.
Oh, okay. So we had a technology committee, a temporary committee, and we decided that what we were going to do was to tag on to the state program. The state had so many iPads, and there was a whole program. It had classes and connection and so forth, not just a machine. And Orange County's allotment was 300. And we said, well, guess what? That's not enough. So we researched all kinds of things very, very quickly, because that was one-time money. And I happened to write the actual proposal, take it to the people. We made, you know, recommendations and finished it and sent it in. And we asked for 2,200 because we said we needed at least 2,500 iPads. And then we crossed our fingers, and lo and behold, we got an email from Elaine. It wasn't in the regular thing, it was separate. We got an email the day she went to the Board of Supers and they the supervisors, and they said yes to the whole thing, and it was $2.2 million. So the one of the things we could do is ask that be extended. They have the machine, but they don't necessarily have the connection now. So that would be a really valuable thing. And I wrote the part originally because I've always talked about this when I was on the senior council and so forth, about the danger of loneliness, isolation, and depression. And there's something that I talked about a lot for a long time. And when COVID hit, everybody totally said, yes, that's true. You're not a lunatic after all. That is exactly. And this is the question that these people need. And it's extremely important, because I had figures, I can send it to you, figures that showed that loneliness was as detrimental to health as smoking used to be. It's terrible. All kinds of things happen, not just depression, but other physical sorts of things happen as well. So it is a health issue, a technical issue, et cetera. And as we worked on it, we found, and even afterwards, as they were being distributed, we realized that we hadn't even touched the surface. Doctors are now wanting you to have some of your appointments online, and medical professionals are asking that you make your appointments online. And well, you make the appointment, or you hold the appointment online. So we're going to have a whole bunch of seniors that absolutely, you know, this isn't just about playing games or something on the little computer. This is going to be really important for them to even access the medical attention that they need. So that could be one of our ideas.
Okay. Rachel, then Joni.
Thanks. Well, so Barbara, one of the things, your timing is perfect, because that was going to be what I was going to ask about here. Okay. So there are a couple of things that occurred to me that I don't think, well, I know I personally do not understand what services the Office of Aging is already providing in the county that falls within our purview of Wellness Reimagined, right? So if there are programs that are happening in the county level that we could add our voices to encourage additional funding or to be maybe expand those kinds of programs, that would be a very useful data point. The other very useful data point, I think, for us to start from is the governor's master plan on aging. You know, there's a whole section here that is health reimagined. And the focus from the state, according to this master plan, is expanding geriatric care and care, home giver care, et cetera. So again, what funding is supposed to come into the county to support those initiatives, and how do we integrate those funding sources and programs into outreach into either our community centers or to, again, get the Board of Supervisors to focus on making some of those areas a priority. Carolyn and I have discussed this many times. We're not training enough nurses. End of story. And not everybody needs a nurse. I mean, look what Christopher just presented, right? Just a senior maybe having a student living in their house, not a caregiver, but it helps on both those isolation levels and just somebody a little more aware. So should that student have some kind of training, and could we get to the point that that would be helpful and expand access? So there's, you know, I think those are two data points that we need to add to this discussion.
Great. Okay, I'm busy writing. Joni, you had your hand up, and then Carolyn.
Yeah, I do Meals on Wheels every day, and I have disseminated many of those iPads. And as a follow-up, of the 30 need help learning how to use those iPads.
That's okay.
So I am going to advocate that it's not just a matter of putting technology in their pocket or in their apartment. It's their adeptness at being able to use it. There is not a day on Meals on Wheels where I don't come to a house and they're on their phone calling, and I'll go, let's use the iPad. And they, I don't know how to use it. So if there is no follow-up for using that technology, it's truly just a source of frustration for many of them, or it is a source of frustration for me. They have better technology than I own, and they're not able to avail themselves of it. So absolutely, 100%. And I have found flyers all over at different community centers and at different housing, promising that there are classes to take. I call them, I leave text messages for them, I leave voice messages for them. To this date, not a single one of the resources
for teaching or support services for any of the technology have reported back to me. There is a dearth of information and classes and instruction, and it needs to be simple and it needs to be in person. I've been told innumerable times, oh, well, we'll have Zoom classes for that. That's wonderful for someone who knows how to access Zoom, put that app on their phone or their iPad and knows how to even connect to the internet. We're talking really basic skills. I send them to try to encourage them. I take a photo of them and then I send it to their iPad. I go, did you get the photo? No, could you show it to me? That's where we are. And when I've reported it to Elaine, I'm just going to put that out there. She said, well, you don't understand. We have a very sophisticated population. Well, she may know the very sophisticated population. That's not who the people are who are not availing themselves of the technology they've received.
And we probably won't have this discussion 5 years from now. As those who are turning 65 or have just, you know, it truly is this age group that's over 75, if not over 80. Right. And
Well, Carolyn had her hand up here.
Well, just quickly, I don't want to take too much of the time. I was working with Irvine Valley College to provide tech support, in-person tech support, and we had it just about worked out, and the person, the vice president of instruction, became the vice chancellor of instruction, and so it was also the end of the school year, so we dropped it. But those are things that we can not necessarily we, but that can be looked at, because that would be a one-on-one.
So it looks like that we're really needing to get down into the weeds. It's not the big picture. It's you got the stuff and making sure people know how to use it.
They didn't need any guidance on how to use their gift cards. I just wanted to say
that. Okay, well, I think that, so you guys are on the right track. For our meeting, our November meeting, bring some ideas, contact me. I'll send everybody email with my contact information if you have ideas. And sounds like this is the beginning of something that we can work on to present in February. So great. Oh, I feel good about that. I will just thought, oh, what are we going to do next month? But this is really important. And I think you're really such bright people. It's a pleasure talking to you old people. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. Carrie, you're I'm really old, so.
Oh, no, I'm on Medicare. Just newly minted as of January of this year. So.
Oh, well.
I'm in the club.
Okay. Is there anybody else have any thing to add? So if not, I'm going to call for adjournment, and our next meeting will be November 16th. And I really hope to have... Yeah,
I'm sorry. We still need to call public comment.
Oh, sorry about that. I'm going to learn the routine eventually, Desiree. Okay. At this time, members of the public may address the council regarding any items within the subject jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Do we have any?
We did not receive any requests to speak in advance, but there is a member of the public present. If you would like to address the committee, please use the hand raise icon or press *9 and I will unmute you. And I'm seeing no hands, Chair.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now I can do it? Thank you. Okay. I call this meeting adjourned, and thank you all for speaking up and speaking out and educating us. We don't normally get to do it that well at these meetings, so I'm really excited about that. So anyway, see you guys next month.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.